The Holy Gospel for today is taken from Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their cities. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. I should maybe put these over here. Pastor Eric really likes candy corn. I don't know if he knew that they were there or not. Okay, so here's a joke. It's been a while since I've started with a joke, so today is the day. Not so funny, but a man and a woman died in a car accident, and it was on the eve of their wedding. And in heaven, they ask St. Peter, have you told this joke before? Okay. They ask St. Peter if they can still be married. And St. Peter says, "Well, let me find out, and if that's possible, so stay here and I'll get back to you." 6 months pass by. And finally, St. Peter returns to the couple and says, "Yes, we can do this for you." And the couple, because they've had lots of time now to think about whether or not they really should be married and should they be married in heaven, so they ask St. Peter, "Well, you know, we've been spending so much time thinking about this. What if it doesn't work out? Is it possible for us to get a divorce in heaven?" St. Peter sighs and says, "It took me 6 months to find a minister in heaven. How long do you think it's going to take me to find a lawyer?" We love all our attorney friends. Thank you. I figured if I was making fun of myself, I can make fun of you too. Well, in the 22 years that I have been a pastor, I've performed quite a few weddings. I was kind of thinking about it, and I thought, probably more than 80 weddings. I've had the opportunity to do weddings in churches, country clubs, wineries, parks, private homes, hospitals, golf courses, on New Year's Day, on a ski slope, on the seashore, the lakeshore, on a boat, around a campfire, and even at a Halloween costume party. I dressed up like a pastor, exactly. And guess what? The bride and the groom, they dressed up like a bride and the groom, and nobody knew other than their brother and their sister that it was actually a wedding celebration. It was actually quite fun. But one of the things that I discovered, and I tell couples this as we're preparing for marriage, something about weddings brings out the best and the worst of those around the bride and the groom. Our gospel lesson for today is certainly no exception. The king is throwing a wedding banquet for his son. Guests are invited and even reminded of the party. And as the king, as a father, he invited people and he expected that they would come. That maybe they would even feel honored to attend this event. don't know, a couple years ago, if you remember when Prince William and Kate Middleton were married. Remember that? It wasn't just anybody who got an invitation to this royal wedding. And it wasn't even just a wedding. It was a grand social and political event. The news was abuzz about who was there, what they were wearing, what happened. So in our parable for today, the king invited his guests and expected them to come not only to honor him, but also to honor his son, who was the heir to the throne, the one who would be king after him. Yet for whatever reason, those invited guests chose not to come. They offer no excuse. They just don't show up. To make matters worse, when they didn't come, the king sent out more royal messengers to them, saying, "The party is ready. Come on and join us." And what did they do to these messengers? They seized them and then killed them. So the king responded in a way that a king would really have to. Because the killing of his servants was not just murder, but it was also an act of rebellion. That was an act of treason, insurrection. To protect his royal authority, he sends out more messengers, an army to stamp out that rebellion. The rebels are destroyed and their cities are burned. So then the king issues another invitation to the good and the bad, to everyone. Come, come and fill this wedding banquet. My son is getting married and I want a party. Now, this would be a really nice ending. And in some of the gospel lessons, this is where the parable ends, with a grand party where all are welcome. But our story for today doesn't end here. The party begins, and then what happens? There's one guest, and what's the matter with this one guest? He's not wearing the wedding garment. He's not dressed in the proper wedding attire. Now that sounds harsh. Some historians have said that in Jesus' time, proper wedding attire was a newly washed white tunic. And if you didn't have a white tunic, you would wear one as close to white as you could. It was a tunic that was a little longer than what you would wear for your everyday clothes. If a person didn't have one, they might be able to borrow one from someone else because these wedding celebrations lasted for at least a week. There's also a story in the Old Testament about King Jehu who provided wedding garments for all of his guests. So we have reason to understand or to believe that if a king was throwing a wedding celebration, that anyone who wished to wear the proper clothing would have access to that. Now, why is that important? Well, wearing the proper clothing to a wedding in Jesus' day was important because it indicated that you were joining in the celebration. Not only were you there, but you were there to celebrate and give thanks, to rejoice. To appear in ordinary clothes meant that you were attending, but you were attending under protest. You were present, but you refused to join in the celebration. So when the king asked the man, "Hey, where's your wedding robe?" What did the man say? Absolutely nothing. He had no answer. Now it's hard to know what to make of this, other than if that man really was there to celebrate and give thanks, he could have said to the king, "Well, I don't have one, or can you show me where I can find one?" Instead, he was speechless. He said absolutely nothing. He was bound hand and foot and thrown into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm wearing a white tunic today. That doesn't sound like any place that I want to be. I don't know. This parable is understood as being an allegory. That is, the characters in this story are symbolic, and they tell us a deeper truth about life. There's a direct correlation between this parable of Jesus and the life of the early church. Jesus told this story, like the one that he told last week about the workers in the vineyard, in many ways to confront the religious authorities. They weren't listening. When confronted by Jesus, they were often speechless. They didn't say anything. They weren't about gaining a deeper understanding. They were about complaining, grumbling, finding ways to trap Jesus, to find fault with him. They weren't listening. And now here they were with Jesus, the bridegroom, refusing to join in a celebration. It's probably no coincidence that about a week after Jesus told this parable, he was crucified. The religious leaders were exposed. They were furious. So what does this have to do with all of us? Like I said to the kids, life in the kingdom of God is a celebration. It's a celebration of love between the bridegroom, who's Jesus, and the bride, the church. God is the host of this celebration, and we are all invited. Each and every one of us receives a royal invitation to come and join this celebration. And the celebration is ready. The table is ready. Ready for all of us, the good and the bad. We are all welcome, and no one is excluded. How are we going to respond? Are we going to put on our wedding garments and join in the celebration? Or are we attending but under protest? Are we, like the Pharisees, finding fault or complaining, seeking ways to entrap Jesus? You know, putting on our wedding garments doesn't have so much with putting on the right clothes as it does putting on the right heart. It has to do with our being. Shedding those layers that keep us from fully celebrating. Those layers of resentment or anger. Those layers of criticism or doubt, hurt. Shedding whatever it is that keeps us from fully celebrating, from fully receiving God's love in our lives. We put on a wedding garment when we put on Christ. In our baptisms, we are clothed in Christ. We are washed and renewed and forgiven. We're given a thankful heart. A grateful attitude when we are humble, compassionate, appreciative, and kind. When we remember that in this gift of holy baptism, indeed we have been forgiven. We are drowned to our old sinful self and reborn as a child of God. So today, Jesus himself invites us to come. To come and join the celebration of love. To come and be clothed in God's grace. To be washed in forgiveness. To be fed with God's compassion. To be filled with God's generosity. To be renewed by God's goodness. To come and give thanks. for the great love that our Heavenly Father has for each and every one of us, the good and the bad. To come taste and see God's goodness and mercy. To come taste and see who we are and how we are to live our lives as God's people. We've received the invitation to come to the wedding banquet, to come to the feast of love. The table is spread, and all are welcome. Amen.